The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
God, it's Monday, and I asked this at Rio Rancho this morning, and there was nobody, but I'll ask it here. Has anyone just woke up on Monday and said, thank God it's Monday? I mean, anyone? We got a couple. We got some Monday lovers here. That's awesome. And so here's the reality. Most of us, we use this term. We say, thank God it's Friday, right? Why is that? Because Friday means we made it through the work week, right? We went to all the meetings, we did our job, and now it's the weekend, and Saturday we can go rest and play and take our kids to soccer and do laundry. Woo! We can get everything, right? We can do all that. And Sunday we get to go to church, and you're excited about that. I know you are. And right? And so most of us, we have this mentality of thank God it's Friday. But I just believe that as believers that we can actually have a thank God it's Monday mentality. You see, I hear people all the time complaining that they're stuck in their job. I mean, they don't like their job. They don't like their boss. They don't like their coworkers. They don't like the field that they're in. I mean, you wonder why they're alive. You wonder, you know, why the clouds just following them around. I hear people all the time just complaining about this thing called work, this thing called a job that honestly we've got to do 40, 50, sometimes 60 plus hours a week. It takes a big chunk of our time. And I hear people complaining about it. And so I want to show you a really quick video. It's like 15 seconds, because I think that this is how a lot of us look on Monday mornings on our way to work. See if you can identify with this polar bear. Oh, right? Oh, I have to go to work. It's Monday morning. I'm driving across Paseo. I love it at the end where he just, let's watch it one more time. This is fun. Watch at the end, his legs just give out. Oh, there it is. Any of you ever felt like that on Monday morning? Right? After today, you are not going to feel that way tomorrow, okay? That's the goal anyway. Because here's the deal. I don't think that is what God intended. I think that we can actually be as excited about Mondays as we are Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays. And so I'm hoping during this series to help us with a thank God it's Monday mentality. So here's how we're gonna kick off this morning. I'm going to need your help, okay? We're going to get into the mindset of work. I'm going to get you thinking about work, because I know a lot of you came in today thinking about church, and you're thinking about God, and you're thinking about what you're going to eat after church. But I want you to think about work for a minute, okay? So find someone near you, and here's what you're going to do. You're going to take 1 minute, so 30 seconds each. It's going to go quick, and you're going to share with this person either about your first job or your worst job, okay? And it might be the same for some of you. So take 30 seconds each, share with them about your first job or your worst job. Ready, set, go. Find someone, talk to them about your first job or your worst job. Share a story. 1 minute. All right, you got about 15 seconds left. You know, have to wrap your story up. I love watching y'all talk to each other. This is fun. I'm imagining right now the stories that you're telling. They're good stories. This is fun. All right, so let me tell you a little bit about my worst job, all right? So growing up, my dad was a contractor and a pastor, and so he put my brother and I to work in both of those fields, and I'll probably tell you some stories along the way, but so I bottom line is I had a background in construction, and so I moved off to Texas to go to college, and because of that background, I got a job with the maintenance department at the college. So I thought, this will work really well. It's a field I know. It's right on campus. It just seemed to work. And so I reported for duty on day one, and I'm thinking, I've got a big skill set. I know what I'm doing. I'm ready for a job. Here we go. And my boss hands me a hammer and a chisel. And it's August in Texas. Anyone been to Texas in August? Okay, doesn't it? It's not fun. It's hot. I mean, it's like a really hot, okay? And here's my job. He says, all right, we just poured concrete at the apartment complex, and some concrete splattered onto the railing, and so I need you to go and chip off all of the concrete that's on the railing. Does that sound like fun to anyone in this room? And I'm like, you have to be kidding me. Like, I am so much more qualified than being a concrete chipper offer, right? Like, I go and I'm like, that's all right. I'm going to do this job. I'm going to do it good. I'm going to prove to them that I'm a worker. And I show up and I am just dying in the Texas heat. I'm sweating profusely. It's like I'm in a shower. I mean, it's horrible. And I remember that night, I call my dad. I'm like, I'm done. That's it. Day one, it's over. I hate this job. I'm going to go find another job. My dad's like, no, you are not. I did not train you that way. I did not raise you to be a quitter. You were going to keep. I'm like, seriously? Like, I have to keep doing this? And so I kept reporting. I kept doing it. And then I discovered a perk to the job. Okay, and here's what it is that we were on a Christian college campus, and so there were boys' dorms, and there were girls' dorms, and you couldn't go in the other. It's not like our secular campuses, but as a maintenance worker, I could go into the girls' dorms, all right? And I had my eye on this sweet little Southern belle from Louisiana, and I thought, one of these days, I'm going to sneak into her dorm. I'm going to take a flower to her door. I'm going to win her heart over. Her name is Lisa. And I'm thinking, this is awesome. And so when I went on the hall, though, when I went in, I had to yell out, man on the hall, right? I had to yell this out because we didn't want anyone coming out indecent. So man on the hall, and all the way down the hall, man on the hall, man on the hall. And so one day I get a service ticket, and I've got to go into the girls' dorm, and the service ticket says or something, this clogged toilet. I'm like, seriously? This is what, now I'm not chipping concrete, I'm unclogging toilets. But I think, it can't be that bad. It's a girls' dorm, right? Like, girls poop pretty, right? Like, it's not like boys. So I get my plunger and I make my way into the girls' dorm, and I'm yelling out, man on the hall, man on the hall. And I make my way to the clogged toilet, and I'm just telling you, single guys, it ain't pretty, all right? It ain't pretty. And I had to unclog this toilet, and I'm thinking in that moment, maybe I should be chipping concrete, right? And I unclog the toilet, and it's all good. And I leave, and I'm walking back down the hallway towards the exit, and I look down, and there's still some stuff hanging on to this plunger, okay? And I didn't realize it. It's just kind of hanging on for dear life. And about that time, it just plopped, just this juicy, wet plop right on the hallway floor. And you know what I did? I ran. I just ran. I'm like, I am getting out of here. I'm getting out of here, all right? And my wife's right now like, why do you tell these stories? So I ran for my life. And here's the reality. All of us have either had a job or currently have a job or will have a job that we don't like. There's going to be something about it, right? Like, for me, it was too hot and the tasks were difficult and disgusting, right? And for you, maybe it's your boss or your coworkers, or maybe it's the field, right, that you chose or that someone else chose for you. All of us have had that kind of a job that just something that you don't like. In fact, according to the Gallup poll, it said that 70% of Americans don't like their jobs. I mean, that's a big percentage. So, we could apply that to this room. There's a lot of people in this room that for one reason or another, you don't like your job. You don't like the thing that you're doing. And that's the mentality that we're trying to overcome in this Thank God It's Monday series. And as I thought about that, 70% of Americans don't like their job, I realized two things. I realized we really need this series. We really do need to see what God's Word has to say about this topic. But then I also realized, no wonder we have so many grumpy workers, you know, in America. Like, have you had that experience, right? Like in a restaurant or a retail or whatever, you have some kind of experience with a grumpy worker. Like the other day we were traveling and we came upon a roadblock and this police officer was there and as I pulled up, I didn't know where I was. I didn't know how long it was going to be closed or where to go. And I'm like, I'm going to pull up and I'm going to ask for directions, for help, you know? And as I pull up, he just looks at our car and he does this. He goes like that. And I'm like, you know, to me, like, what is this? You're not my mama. Like, why you don't point at me. And so I said, Lisa, can you go talk to the nice officer? Because I am not in the mood for this, right? And I was like, why so grumpy, right? Like, here's your, we've all encountered the grumpy worker, right? Or maybe we've been the grumpy worker, right? I've been the grumpy worker. Maybe, I have one more video for you today. Maybe you've encountered someone like this. You're going to enjoy this. Security. Security. Have you ever encountered a grumpy worker like that? See, so this is why we're talking about work, okay? This is why we're talking about work. And if you think about it, you and I will spend about 35% of our entire life, like if you count all the hours and all the weeks and all, you put it all together, we'll spend about 35% of our life working. In fact, the only thing that you will do more than work, or most of you will do more than work, is sleep. I mean, if you think about it, a lot of us will spend more time with our coworkers than we will with our family, right? Because we're at this job 40, 50, 60 hours a week. And so it's important that we figure this out. In fact, some of you, you're in that job. You're stuck. You're dreading Mondays. You're dragging in. You're grumpy pants, right? You're coming in. And inside, this is what your heart's screaming is, there has to be a better way. And you know what? There is a better way. And so during this series, we're going to rework how we think or how we approach work. And I think the best place to do that is to go to the Word of God and see what it has to say about work. So if we start in the very first chapter, the very first book, the very first verse, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, what we find is we find God Himself at work. And this is important for us to understand, because some people incorrectly believe that work is simply a punishment for the fall of man. That, hey, Adam and Eve, they ate the fruit, and so God cursed them, right? And there is a piece to this. They cursed them, and they're going to have to work. And because of that, I got to go to work every Monday morning, and I got to do this. But here's the reality. The concept of work, it began before the fall of man. It began actually with God. In Genesis 1:1, we see God at work. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He was working. He was creating, right? He created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And so he begins. He creates the world. He creates the earth. He creates the waters. He creates the man and the animals. And he creates the world, and he's at work. And in Genesis 2, it says this. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. So the work he had been doing, in verse 2, says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work. So there it is, right? God finished the work he had been doing. And on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. In other words, God said, thank God it's Friday, right? I've been working. I've been creating the world. I've been making all these animals. I've been doing this stuff. God Himself, He began the concept of work, but it doesn't stop there. Then He creates the first man. He creates Adam, and He gives Adam a job. So this means that God was the world's very first boss, right? Now, He's created Adam, and He's given him a job. And we see there again in Genesis 1, he gives Adam the job of caring for the garden. He's going to tend to the garden. He's going to take care of the garden. And then I've always thought this was a cool job. He gives Adam a second job in verse 19. It says, now the Lord God formed out of the ground all the wild animals and the birds of the sky, and he brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called that living creature, that was its name. And so the man gave names to the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. And I've just always thought this was so cool. Like one of his jobs, one of Adam's jobs, was to name the animals. And I don't know exactly how this happened, but I just picture that there in the Garden of Eden, that Adam, he set up a desk, and he got his office chair out, right? And he got his Mac out so he could record all of the animals' names. It was definitely a Mac. It wasn't a PC. And then God, he paraded the animals through, right? And I can just, I just, I'm, again, in my imagination, you know, God was like, so Adam, here's a bird, and it's kind of colorful, and it lays eggs, and you can eat those eggs, and what do you want to call this? And Adam's like, a chicken. How about a chicken? We'll call it a chicken, you know? And so God's like, all right, chicken. And they put it in the mac, you know? And then he brought another animal through, and he's like, you know, Adam, this furry little animal, this is man's best friend, and it barks, and it's loyal and faithful, and, you know, what do you want? He's like, oh, we'll call that a dog. We'll call that a dog. God said, all right, it's a dog, you know? He brings another animal and said, Adam, now this animal, this is a furry little animal, but this one, unlike that last one, this one's temperamental and annoying and you know, just, I don't, what do you want to name this one? And Adam said, we'll call that one a cat. We'll call that one a cat. And you know what God said? He said, that's perfect. That's perfect. And I just wanted, you know, I offended cat lovers a few weeks ago. I thought, we'll just go for it one more time, just in case. But here's the deal. So God created work, right? It started with him. And then he assigns the first man, Adam, work. And again, this is before the fall. So this is not a punishment, all right? He gives him work to do, all right? And so the question I'm asking in this series is, so if it started by God and it was given by God to the first humans, why do so many of us hate it today? And that leads me to believe that we need to rework our thoughts about work. So I want to share a verse with you. We'll more than likely come back to this verse a few times in this series, because I believe this verse gives us an opportunity for a paradigm shift about how we think about work. We find this verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And here's what it says. For we, that's you and I, okay, for we are God's handiwork. Watch this. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And I would just ask you, if you're willing, to mark this verse, make a note of it, highlight it, circle it, write it down, put it on your iPhone, and this week, like tomorrow morning, when you're headed to your job, to your work, right, this would be a great verse to spend a couple of minutes meditating on, because there's some really big truths in this. See, it starts out by saying, for we are God's handiwork. And another word there I might use is, we are God's masterpiece, right? Like I was thinking this week about, like, if you walk through the grocery store and you look at how items are currently marketed, right? Like the things that the labels they put on the products to sell them to us, right, as the consumer. And so they'll put these big, you know, fair trade, organic, you know, all these things to try to, you know, market it to you as the consumer. And I'm reading Ephesians 2:10, and this is what I would say to you today. You are a handcrafted, artisan, original, fair trade, one-of-a-kind masterpiece. See, this provides a shift for us, that you and I, we first of all, are a product of the work of God. We are a masterpiece. We are his handiwork, okay? And here's the idea that can change everything, is this verse teaches that we are a work of God, created to work with God. See, that's the thing that can shift everything for us. We are created by God to work with him. And that tells us that you're not defined by what you do, but rather by whose you are. See, I love this verse because it says we were created to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And we talked about this idea 2 weeks ago, that nothing about our lives is an accident. We talked about our sphere of influence and how that where you live and where you work and who you're with and where, all of that, it's all part of God's plan. And this verse, it tells us the same thing in a slightly different way. What this is talking about with work is that you are working in the place you're supposed to be working, and it was prepared for you in advance. In other words, you didn't get that job because you're so awesome, or you didn't get that job because your resume looks pretty. You're there because that's where God wants you, because he prepared this particular path for you. And when you and I, when we figure this out, that we get to work with God, that we're created by him to work with him, then our Mondays become just as holy as our Sundays. See, this is one of the big disconnects that I'm hoping to challenge during this series. One of the big disconnects of the church is that Sundays are the holy day, and that all the other days we just have to kind of put up with, right? That we just kind of move through life and we do the things, but oh man, Sunday, oh yeah, now it's the holy day. But when we figure out that we get to work with God in whatever it is that we do, now all of a sudden, Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays, those all become holy days. And this is how we make the shift to a thank God it's Monday mentality. The thing you do is in partnership with God. So what you do matters, but how you do what you do matters even more. One of my favorite examples of this is a guy named Truett Cathy. He's the founder of Chick-fil-A, and you're familiar with this because every Sunday when you crave those amazing chicken nuggets, you're reminded that the founder of Chick-fil-A made a decision that they were going to close down one day out of the week, right? On Sundays. They were going to do this to honor God and to honor families, and they made this decision. And I was reading about this recently, and I read this quote. Truett said, "Our decision to close on Sunday was our way to honor God and direct our attention to things that matter more than our business." See, this is a thank God it's Monday mentality, right? That how we do what we do, right? How we sell chicken, or how we sell widgets, or how we sell houses, or how we sew things, or how we crunch numbers, or how whatever it is that you're doing, that how we do what we're doing matters. That how we do it honors God. That there are things that are more important in life than the thing that you're doing. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a self-professed workaholic. This is a hard concept for me because honestly, I love what I do. I have to fight the opposite, right? I have to force myself to take the time, to get away from it. But how we do what we do matters. In fact, I would say to you this morning that how you do your what, like whatever it is that you do, how you do your what matters more to God than actually what you do. But society says what you do is more important than how you do it, right? Like in society, we have this hierarchy of jobs, right? Like at the top might be the president of America, right? Or the president of a company, or the owner of a business, or a manager level position, right? A C-suite position. That would be kind of the hierarchy that society says, hey, these jobs are more important. And at the bottom, it would be like the dishwasher or the garbage man, right? Or the person who's mopping the floors. Like that job might not be as important. But here I would contend with you this morning that God's not as concerned with what you're doing, but rather he's concerned with how you're doing what you're doing. In other words, you can honor God as the manager, or you can honor God washing dishes. You know? And I would contend with you that most of us actually care more about how the dishwasher is doing his job or her job than the manager, right? Like if you've ever been served food on a plate that's not clean, you wish that dishwasher took their job serious. Am I right? Like all of a sudden you're grossed out. You're like, man, I wish they did this job better, right? And see, that's the deal. How we do what we're doing matters more than what we're doing. I remember one of the times that I learned this lesson for myself. My wife and I were working in Texas. We were bivocational, which meant part of our time was on staff at a church and part of our time was doing a job to pay the bills. And the job that I was doing currently was I was the VP of sales for a technology company, which is quite humorous, actually. And I was selling technology and I was doing that. And I just got to a place, I honestly just hated it. I mean, I just didn't like it. I didn't like the people I was working with. I wasn't enjoying it. And part of that was that God was stirring our hearts to make a transition into full-time ministry. And that's about the time that we found out about the opportunity to come to Albuquerque to pastor Harvest. And so we began to explore that. And man, I mean, I was ready. Like, have you ever been ready to get out of a job? I mean, I was ready. And the temptation was this. The temptation was to apply this earthly hierarchy to my two options and to say, well, the calling of God to go pastor a church is a more important, a holier calling than selling technology. And the temptation was to not finish that job well as I'm out the door to go to this other one that I perceive to be a higher, holier calling. And I'll never forget this moment. I was actually duck hunting with my pastor, and he knew what was happening, and he knew the scenario. And we got there, it was real early, and we put the decoys out, and it's dark, and it's cold, and it's just he and I, and we're sitting there in the duck blind, and we're waiting for ducks, and I'm excited, and I'm hanging out with my pastor, and he just out of nowhere, he goes, Jason, make sure you leave well. I'm like, what are we talking about? I'm ready to shoot some ducks. Like, did you see some ducks? What are we talking about? He said, Jason, leave well. He said, I know you're not happy right now, and I know you can't wait to get out the door and go and do this other thing, but how you leave will determine the kind of people that you will employ in the future. This will determine the staff that eventually will be on your church. Don't just leave well. What was he teaching me? He said, how you do what you do matters, right? Like, I had the opportunity right there to just blow it, or to dig in and to make sure that I did it in the right way. And so I would just ask this question aloud this morning. What if we all did what we do, whatever it is that you do, with the right how, right? What if we paid attention to how we're doing what we're doing? What if we showed up to work every day knowing that our how matters more than our what? See, what I love about this applies to whatever your what is. Like, this applies whether you're crunching numbers as an accountant or watching kids in childcare or teaching or coaching or building or repairing or running a business or, you know, whatever your what is, this applies. What if we showed up every Monday realizing that our how matters? See, no matter how mundane you think your job is, it matters. I remember growing up working for my dad. He would assign us tasks on a construction site, and often I would not have a good attitude about the task that I was assigned, and he would pull me aside and he would say this to me. He'd say, son, you can do this with a good attitude or a bad attitude, but either way you're going to do it. You know? And he'd say, and if you get a good attitude, it'll go faster and you'll enjoy it more and it'll be better. And I just was like, I don't like you right now. Like, this is terrible advice. What you need to do is you need to give me another job and give this job to Gerald, right? Like, that's what I was thinking. And some of us, that's what happens. That'll happen this week. Like, you'll wonder why you were assigned a task rather than a particular coworker, right? And that, when that happens, you're going to hear me say in your head, you can either do this with a good attitude or a bad attitude, but either way, you're going to do it. And the point is this, is that our how matters, how we do what we do. And here's one of the reasons, is that other people are watching. Our coworkers our employers, our other people are watching to see how we do what we do. Why? Because we profess to follow Jesus Christ, which means we should be different, right? Which means we should be people of character, which means we should do our job differently than people who are not following Jesus, right? Like if you're the one in the break room that's instigating the conversation, what are you reflecting, right? If you're the one in the break room going, can you believe he did that? Can you believe she did that? Can you believe this policy? Oh my goodness, I'm not doing that. I'm not following that. I don't know about you guys. I'm not going to do it. What are we reflecting in that moment right after we invited them, right, to Labor Day picnic at Harvest Church, right? Right? Like, what are we reflecting in that moment? See, other people are paying attention to how we do what we do. But I know what some of you are thinking this morning. You're saying, Pastor, you don't understand, though. You don't know the boss that I work for. I mean, my boss is Cruella De Vil. I mean, he or she is just plain evil. Like, they don't like me. They have it out for me. You don't understand, Pastor, my boss, right? Or some of you are thinking, you don't understand my coworkers. I mean, they are horrible people. They're mean, and they do this, and you don't understand, right? Or you're like, Pastor, you don't understand my job, my workplace. You don't understand what I have to put up with every day. And you know what? You're right. I don't know. But I have a scripture for you. I want you to go to Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to give you one more scripture that will help us today with this idea of developing a thank God it's Monday mentality. Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to read the very first part of this, and I'm going to pause because I want to explain it. It says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. And I want you to understand that this passage is, this is not a metaphor. Like, some of you feel like slaves to your boss or to your job, all right? This is not a metaphor. This is literally written to an audience that they are slaves. They are forced to work for earthly bosses, right, who are not nice, right? Like that's what's going on here. But I think we can apply the truth that we'll see in this passage. So I might read it to you today. I might say, employees, obey your earthly boss in everything, right? Like that would be the takeaway for us today. And let me show you why. It says, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, right? In other words, he's saying, don't just do the right thing when the right people are watching, right? Like, have you ever worked with someone like that? Like, as soon as the boss shows up, I mean, they are just on point, right? I mean, they're kissing up, and they're doing the right thing, and they're playing the role, and they're doing, and then as soon as they leave, it's back to their normal ways, right? And see, this is what he's saying. He's saying, do obey all the time, not just when their eyes on you, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. I'll just pause there. Whatever you do. See, if we think back, we have this hierarchy that certain jobs are more important than others. And this is clear. Whatever you do, whatever your role, whatever your job title, whatever your business card says, whatever it is that you do, work at it with all of your heart as if you are working for the Lord, not for human masters. See, this is part of the thank God it's Monday mentality, right? Is you're right. I don't know your boss. And maybe your boss is mean. And maybe your boss, you know, it has high expectations. And maybe they want you to work more than you. I understand those things. But here's what the scripture teaches. Whatever you do, do it as if you're working for the Lord. Teach as if you're working for the Lord. Build, repair, fix, sell, right? Manage, serve as if you're working for the Lord, since you know you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. See, here's a misconception. The misconception is that the reward for our work is a paycheck. But that's not the reward. That's a benefit, right? Like if you show up and you do the thing that you're supposed to do, then you get a paycheck. You earn a paycheck. It's not a reward. You earn that. The reward will come when you get to heaven. And the Lord says, hey, all those dishes you were washing and you honored me and how you did that and all those floors you vacuumed and all those kids you taught and all those charts you built and all those speeches you gave and all whatever it happens to me, those things, when you did that, like you were doing it for me, now here's your reward. See, here's the reality. The paycheck will never be big enough. If the mentality is that the reward is the paycheck, it'll never be big enough. It will never satisfy. See, here's the problem with more being the goal, right? Is that more is never enough because more is infinite, right? If the goal is, well, I just want more money so I can buy more things, so I can go to more places and do more stuff, You'll never reach the place where you're actually happy because more is infinite. Because as soon as you get to the next level, you want more than what you currently have, which is more than you used to have. And then you get to the next level, and now you want more than you have, than you had, than you had. Right? Have you ever seen anyone like this? This is the problem. More will never make you happy. And that's why paychecks don't make us happy. That's why as believers, I love it when you get a paycheck. I love it when you get raises. I will celebrate that with you. But I'm just telling you, that will not make you happy. And the truth that we find here in Colossians, this is how we thank God that it's Monday, is that we do the work as if we're actually working for the Lord, knowing that our reward will actually come later. It'll come when we kick the bucket, right? At that point, then we get our reward. And so out of these scriptures, I want to give you just a couple of truths out of these couple of scriptures I'd shared with you today. And then we've got 2 weeks. We're going to talk about work. We're going to look at theology of work. It's going to be fun. But I want to share just a couple of truths with you this morning. First of all, we all work for the same God. So whatever your what is, whatever your title is, your job description, your place of employment, all of us work for the same God. And see, this is important to a thank God it's Monday mentality. I'm trying to tear down the earthly hierarchy of jobs that says that one is more important than the other. Because see, we all work for the same boss. I work for the same boss, and Jose works for the same boss, and all of it. Every person in here works for the same boss, which leads me to this idea: no job is more spiritual than another. And if you go to Growth Track, you hear us teach this because we really believe this. So we teach it every time we do Growth Track. No job is more spiritual than another. See, I get the opportunity because of my job title to be the guy who gets to stand up here most Sundays and share God's word. And so if someone were to walk in and they don't have a context for, you know, for what we do and how we do it, they might walk in and sit on the back row and observe, and they'd go, well, the guy that's up there has to be more important of a role than the people that are sitting out here listening, right? It's the earthly hierarchy of teacher and student, right? That would lead someone to believe that my role might be more important. Or they'd walk in during worship and they'd see, you know, 4, 5, 6 people up here playing instruments and singing songs. They go, well, those people, their role is more important than the people here that are clapping and singing. And those people, they would be wrong. Because no job is more spiritual. My job is not more spiritual than yours. Your job is not more spiritual than mine. Our jobs, the what that we do, see, don't get caught up in the what, right? How about this? What if we paid attention not just to how we do it, but why we do it? That's what Colossians is teaching us. It's the why. The what that we're doing, right? The why is because we're honoring God in how we do what we do. That is the mind shift that has to happen. So I'll say it to you this way. Your job title does not define you. Your job title, whatever it says on your door, on your card, on the website, that's not what defines you. If you go back to the verse in Ephesians that we already looked at, right? It's not about what you do. It's about whose you are. And since all of us work for the same boss, which is God, I can make this connection. All of us are ministers. All of us are ministers. And that's why what we do matters, is because what we do is simply an avenue to accomplish the purposes of God. That's why it matters so much. If I could have the worship team join me, I'll close this with this question. So what could happen if the church took back Mondays? What could happen if Harvest Rio, Harvest Espanol, Harvest Taylor Ranch, and Harvest Cuesta, what if we all took back Mondays? What if we came in to Mondays with the same intensity and passion as we did on Sundays? See, I don't see most of you on Mondays on your commute to work, but I see you on Sundays. I see you come in and you've got your best clothes on and your kids are acting right because you just scolded them in the car that they better act right or you'll whoop them when you get home, right? And you walk in and it's like, oh, good morning. Oh, hey. Oh, my God, I haven't seen you. So high five. Oh, I love you. Oh, my God. And I just, you know, I don't think that's how you go in on Mondays. I might be wrong. In fact, you can Facebook Live your Monday morning. You can prove me wrong, okay? I don't know. But I just wonder with you, what if the church took back Mondays? You see, this is the misconception, is that Sundays belong to the church and Mondays belong to the workplace. And that's just not true. What if we took back Mondays? You see, we end every Sunday. You've heard this like so many times, you're probably sick of it. We end every Sunday with these words. We say, Harvest, go be the church. Right? We say that every Sunday, right? Why are we saying that? Because this isn't the church. This is a place and a time where we get to gather to encourage one another and love one another and hang out and spend time together. But when we walk out of these doors, that's when we get to go be the church. And you know what? When you walk out of these doors today, it's only a few hours until you'll be waking up to go report to that thing that you do on Monday morning called a job. And how you do that job tomorrow and Tuesday and every other day, how you do that matters. It matters to God and it matters to those that are watching how you do that. What if we took back Mondays? I read a quote from Martin Luther. He said this, I just think it's so powerful. He said, the idea that the service to God should have only to do with a church altar, singing, reading, sacrifice, and the like is without doubt the worst trick of the devil. How could the devil have led us more effectively astray than by the narrow conception that service to God takes place only in a church and by the works done therein? The whole world could abound with the services to the Lord, not only in churches, but also in the home, the kitchen, the workshop, and the field. Church, what if we took back Mondays?
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.